I should be. Okay. All right. Good evening. You know, what a powerful time in the Spirit. That was an amazing job you did in worship. It was an amazing time in the Spirit. And I just, you know, I feel so refreshed. I needed that. I needed to be in the presence of the Lord. And I think that many times we minister, we pour out. We give so much. We've been called to give. We've been called to serve to a higher level. And that's what the call we've received as well. And we're constantly giving out. And it's moments like this that I just sat there saying, Lord, do I have to say anything? Can we just, you know, I want to say, Al, don't introduce it. Just let me slip out and go home. I feel like God just did a work in me tonight. I feel like I've been filled. There's so many things that God began to speak to me as I was just even sitting there for me, for my life, for my ministry. And one of the things that I saw him doing for us tonight is while we were in that time of worship and just spending time with the Lord and just loving on the Lord, it was awesome. I saw the Lord just giving out bread. He was going around us, and it was amazing that Al ministered the elements to us tonight. When I saw that, I thought, well, I saw the Lord giving us bread tonight. And he was giving us, feeding us tonight in a new way, in a special way. So I hope you received something during worship, because there was a moment there where God was just moving in our midst, and he was just giving to us and ministering to us what we needed. I'll tell you, I feel so refreshed. And we've had a very rigorous ministry schedule recently. And as a matter of fact, Thursday night, Friday night, this morning, all this morning till about 3-something, we've been teaching a prophetic boot camp in the city. And so when I was done with that this morning, I thought, Lord, how am I going to get through tonight? And then, of course, with the weather. But God is so faithful. So I thought, well, in Jesus' name, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But then I get here and the strength of the Lord just fell on me. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And it's just what a beautiful anointing there is in worship here. So, amen. And I love how you open that up with scripture and in impartation. And the Lord led you to do that. And that was beautiful to help people enter in and know what worship is. Just an amazing time. If you have a hard time raising your hands in worship, those are moments where we need to know we need to be free from some stuff. If we have a hard time just worshiping, we need to be free from some stuff. So I stand before you tonight as a humble servant. Maybe you know me, maybe you don't. Maybe you like me, maybe you don't. But you're not here to hear me tonight. You're here to hear the Lord, the message that I have for you tonight. And I believe that the Lord gave us a message. And I want to share with you very briefly. I don't want to keep you out late on this type of, on a night like this. But I do believe that God has a word for us tonight. He is a faithful God, is he not? Is it okay that I have all this hanging here? All right. All right, I'll just ignore the wires that are hanging on my side here. No, we'll just... That is a lot, isn't it? I guess it is bothering me. There we go. All right, very good. It's an interesting season. We're in a very interesting season. For the Church of Jesus Christ, it's not a season for us to shrink back. It's a season to be bold. He's calling us to be bold like lions. Wednesday night at our school of ministry, I just gave that prophetic word. I felt the Lord speak to me and say, tell my children to be bold as lions. And I got up and I began to prophesy. God says, be bold as lions. And I started prophesying boldness as lions. And then a friend of mine at that very moment sends me an email and he's a YouTube clip. And I'm thinking, what is he doing sending me a YouTube clip? He knows I'm at church. But I felt to look at it. When I did, he sent me a 2-minute video of a lion roaring. And I felt the Lord saying, that's the hour that we're in. See, that we need to be humble. We need to walk in humility because God's in it. But we need to be bold because God is in it. So we walk in humility and we walk in boldness. And this is a season where boldness is arising. Some of us have a hard time with boldness. Now, I like the idea of boldness, but believe it or not, I've not been the most bold person on the face of the earth. No, I haven't. I've struggled with boldness in some areas. There have been times in my ministry where I've had to do things, some very bold things. And I've struggled with that. And I found that the Lord has helped deliver me from things that I've walked through in life that have held me back from the fullness of what God has for me. And one of the things I've realized now is that boldness is not so much of a problem for me anymore. Neither is humility. Some of us have a problem with humility. But when that's the case, thank God for Jesus. He sets us free. And we can walk in a new level of humility as well. So we walk in humility, we walk in boldness. So for some reason this season, God is highlighting the boldness. Because the devil is bold as well. And he's gained so much ground that I think that many times we try to be politically correct to take back what God wants us to take. But we are going to take it by force in Jesus' name, and we have to be bold to do it. So as we're preparing for the season, as we were entering into this year, and the prophets have spoken about the year, they've given us pictures and snapshots of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I myself have heard from the Lord on what He's saying for us for this season. 5774, an interesting year. 2014, an interesting year. The Lord began to speak to me about that this is a year where He's going to deal with the very things that have held us back. It's the year for full deliverance. It's the year where God wants to set us free because we need to go in His name and we're going to do things we thought we could never do. And in order for us to do those things, He needs to set us free. And the Lord spoke to me out of Psalms. I want you to go with me there tonight. Psalms 118. And in the book of Psalms, this scripture jumped out at me and the Lord says, there's your word for the year. We're in chapter 118, and I want to read to you verse 13. And it says, you pushed me violently. Everybody say violently.
Violently.
You pushed me violently that I might fall. Everyone here has been a victim of the enemy pushing them violently. You were not just pushed, you were pushed violently. Because from the moment God saw you in eternity, and He saw you and He said, you know what? This is good. When He saw Brother Al in eternity, He said, this is good. I've got a good plan for him. I've got a good plan for his destiny. And when God saw me, He said the same thing. And He put in us the giftings, the talents, and the abilities so that we could fulfill our ministry call. And then as God designed an excellent blueprint for our lives so that we can walk in His plans for our lives, the enemy saw that God was planning something good for us, and prophetic words were spoken over us. There were prayers declared over us, and God began to show things, show signs that He was going to use us in particular ways. And I believe that the enemy's we don't want to give him all the credit, but he's a very smart enemy. And I believe that he saw those things, and He eventually began to create a plan to work against that. He started coming up with a plan to come against the plan of God in our lives, if that makes any sense. So God has a plan for our lives, and the enemy fights to counter that plan. And in that evil plot, in that evil scheme, he has planned to push you violently. See, we got to understand, the enemy just doesn't want to stop you from coming to church. It's not just what he wants to do. He just doesn't want to have you run out of money. He just doesn't want to give you a hard time. Yeah, he works on those levels where he opposes us, but it's more serious than that. The enemy wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to ground us down to the floor. And therefore, because he hates the image of God that we represent, he hates the plan of God for salvation for humanity, and he hates the fact that we have a part of it. So with the plan of God for our lives, we get excited. The enemy absolutely hates that. And I'm not here to give him glory tonight in any way, but we need to understand that there was a plan against you from before you were born.
Yeah.
The kingdom of darkness gathered and said, what are we going to do to stop this person? What are we going to do to prevent them from entering into a place with the Lord? What are we going to do to destroy that plan that God put on their lives? What can we do? And there were gatherings and there were meetings, and I believe a plan came forward to push us violently so that we could not accelerate and move forward into the plan of God. Everyone here tonight. See, everyone here tonight sits here and you say, we think at times, I'd love to fulfill the call of God in my life, but if they only knew what I had to go through, if they only knew my life story, then they would understand why I can't do those things. We walk around with excuses. And we think, well, God understands that because I've walked through this and that, I can't really answer my ministry call. I can't do all that. I'm afraid of being in front of people. I can't do all that because I don't know the word enough. I can't do all that because I'm shy. I can't do all that because whatever reason, I have a learning disability or I have this or I have that. We come up with all these excuses. And we think that that's going to be enough and a legitimate excuse for us not to step into the full plan of God. Let me tell you something here tonight. Look around. Everyone in this room, take a good look. Everyone here has had a violent plan against them. Everyone here has had to go through some stuff. Everyone here has had to encounter demonic hordes that have come against them. All of us. We've all encountered plans that have come at us. We've all been pushed violently. I remember right before I gave my life to the Lord, when I was 16 years old, I had taken a stash of pills. I said, that's it. I've had enough. I got to a place. I grew up in the Lord. I grew up in church. I grew up where the word was taught, where the word was instructed. But when I hit my teen years, I went through a rebellious phase that my mother says I gave her the biggest headache, more than all my other three siblings put together. Me, I know. Brother Hector? Is she sure about that? And interestingly enough, all of a sudden I was drawn to power. Something grew in me. There was a voice that was speaking to me saying, if you step into the occult, there's power for you. I knew that there was an invitation for me in the occult. I was being drawn into the occult. Something was drawing me in that direction, and this power, this lust for power started growing in me, and I started moving in that direction. And interestingly enough, a friend of mine said, hey, Hector, I want to introduce you to something. Come with us. He took me to a party where we began to play with a Ouija board. And it started, what started with the Ouija board and a fun game, all of a sudden opened up this appetite in me for the occult. I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't get enough. I wanted more. I started ordering books on magic, books on wizards, books on witches. I wanted to know all about that stuff because I knew I was going to be powerful. Something drew me in that direction. The enemy knew that God had a plan for my life as a prophet to be prophetic. He knew that. And when he came up with a plan, he said, how can we kill and destroy Hector? Well, let's come up with a plan to draw him into the occult. And I'll tell you, people that are involved in the occult, it brings you a promise of power, but its ends are very tragic. People die tragically. Those are dear people who are misled, who are deceived. They even have a prophetic call in their lives, but the enemy got to them and drew them astray. And he's taken advantage of the gift of God in their lives. And that's what happened to me. I had to go through that. And praise God for Jesus that I was 16, God began to deal with my life, and I realized that no matter how much I was going after the occult, every time I stepped into an opportunity, it would shut in front of me. Just when I met someone who knew about the Ouija board, all of a sudden the opportunity wasn't there anymore. Just when I would reach out for mentoring from someone, that door would close, and I knew my mother was praying. Oh, and I'd get so angry. I'd go in my room and I'd say, would you stop listening to our prayers? Because I had rebelled. I wanted nothing to do with God. I wanted to go after the occult, or so I thought. And when I realized that God wasn't going to stop listening to my mother's prayers, because for some reason I couldn't get anywhere, thank God for my mother's prayers, I hit bottom. I got very depressed, and I took a stash of pills, and I said goodbye to the world. I said goodbye. And what seemed like the enemy's plan to succeed, to kill me, was in play. I took all those pills, and I said goodbye. I laid down, I went to sleep, no one knew, I shut the door to my room, and what could have been pills, three or four of these could have done the job, but I took the whole bottle. I shut the door, and I woke up very healthy the next morning. Not a headache, nothing. And the Lord began to minister to my life, and at the age of 16, I fully gave myself to the Lord, and the plan of God began to again emerge and burst forth. It's been 26 years that I've been walking with the Lord. 26 years. And one of the things that I find is that even walking with the Lord, even saying yes to God, many times the plan of the enemy tries to come up again. He tries to rise back up and push me violently so that I don't walk in the fullness of God. Something in circumstances, problems, trials, tribulations will rise up and will try to discourage us from moving forward. And as I found this scripture, the Lord spoke to me and said, the enemy loves to push violently. But he doesn't understand. The verse finishes by saying, you pushed me violently that I may fall. We've been pushed so that we could be destroyed. But, what does it say? The Lord helped me. But the Lord helped me. We are in a season where the very plan that the enemy put in place to destroy you, God is going to have you confront that thing. It's time to confront it once and for all. It's time to come after the plan of the enemy to destroy us and speak to that and say, the Lord has helped me. You will not destroy me. Although you've pushed me violently that I may fall, the Lord has helped me. And now I'm walking in victory. A couple nights ago, I was doing a prophetic meeting, a series of prophetic meetings in a church in Attica, New York. And the Holy Spirit told me, call people up because I'm going to give them specific healing assignments. I said, okay. So I called about 7 people out of the congregation. I said, you have specific healing anointings. And the Lord gave me the actual specific anointing he had placed in their hands for healing. I says, you have a gift for this. You have a gift for that. You have it. And we went specifically into the areas that God has anointed them for healing. Well, it turns out each and every one of those individuals came up to me afterward and told me they suffered in the very area where God gave them an anointing. One lady, I said, the Lord has given you an anointing for necks. She about started laughing out loud. And I said, car injuries, whiplash, anything with any trauma in the neck. God says, I've given you healing and authority and anointing for the neck. And her husband came up to me and said, 4 years ago, she was in a car accident and her neck was injured. And she started developing some very serious symptoms. And we've tried everything. And now she just got a prophetic word recently. She just got prayed for. And she just got a word that God was doing something on her neck. The person who prophesied didn't know anything about it. And she's been starting to see a breakthrough and a healing coming forth in her neck. And now tonight, God is telling her he's given her an authority over necks. And that's what I find so interesting. That the very thing God has anointed us for, the enemy tries to use that against us. Once upon a time, I used to say, I will never speak in front of a group of people ever in my life. I used to think that. I was terrified. I was terrified of people looking at me. I was terrified and I thought that they would see right through me. That they would see all the garbage I've had to walk through. That they would see that I'm not smart and that I'm not the most smartest and the most whatever. All the other fears that we have with standing in front of people. And I said, I can't do it. I'll never do it. Maybe 2-3 people, but I'll never speak in front of a group. And I received a prophetic word once, and he said, and you will teach the word, and you will minister the word with such an anointing and accuracy that you can gauge it by the growth in the people. And I thought, that sounds great, but that'll never be me. I'll never do it. I don't know how that'll do it. I can't do it. I'm too afraid. I don't know how from when I received that word today, I don't know when it happened. I don't know. Something happened somewhere. Where God broke off the plan of the enemy to push me. And in that very area where the enemy was pushing me with intimidation, God gave me such a victory. I absolutely love sharing the word. It's not a problem for me anymore. God has anointed me to do it. You have an anointing. You have a ministry. You have a call. And this is a season where the enemy, where God is confronting the area. The enemy's intimidated you about it. God wants to confront intimidation. Set you free so that you can fulfill the ministry call he's called you to. No more fighting God. No more 20 confirmations. No more 12 angels with copper bowls. God, I'll tell them Jesus loves them, but send me 4 living creatures on my right side with eyes all over their bodies, and then I'm missing. We don't need that anymore. We're being set free so that we're walking in confidence. And everywhere we go, we're just doing it. Yeah. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's a season of confrontation. 2014, 14 being the number, 7 is the number of completion, but 14 is double that. It's the season of completion. It's not just one thing ending. It's several. It's a season where God is ending several things, stepping us into a new beginning. Just like Jacob. Named Jacob. He was a trickster. He was a usurper. He got tricked. Fell in love with Rachel. Worked for her for 7 years. Got tricked. Ended up with her sister Leah. Says, you tricked me. Says, hey, the oldest one has to get married first. Work another 7 years and I'll give you the one you want. We'll throw that in the deal. How's that? He ends up working 14 years. And at the end of 14 years, he gets, well, now that he has the two, he fulfilled his contract. The Lord speaks to him and says, end of a season. It's time to go back home. Change of direction. It's a season of change. Season of change of direction. Things are closing now and God is launching us into a new direction to fulfill that ministry call. But what did he have to do after he left that place? Something very key needed to take place. Before Joseph got there to work for Rachel, we know the story about how he got the blessing from his father. How he got his brother's birthright. We know that whole story. When that whole time he was there, those 14 years, he had a brother over there very mad at him. He didn't know what was going to happen. He was afraid for his life. But when God said, go back home, going back home meant time to confront your past. That stuff you left back there, you left them back there stewing. Now, he hears the message, you're going back home. That's not good news. That means he's got to go confront the stuff he left back there. He doesn't know if this means he's going to die. Because his brother's very angry. But 14 is a season of completion. But before we're launched into the new, we have to confront some stuff from the past. See, that stuff can't hang on you. You can't stay worrying, is Esau going to kill me or not? Is he still mad at me or not? God wants to help you through that so that that's not an issue for you anymore. He had to go back and confront the past. But he couldn't do it in his old identity, and he couldn't do it in his own strength, which is why he waited on the Lord, and a man showed up. The angel of the Lord showed up, and he wrestled with the Lord. We know that 5774 is an open door, but I believe it's an open door because it's an opportunity for encountering God in a new way. Why? Because we have to encounter God in a new way to receive an impartation for us that we need so that we can step through this confrontation. We can't confront in our old identity. Jacob couldn't meet Esau with his old trickster self. He couldn't do it. I believe it would have resulted tragic, but God needed Jacob to step into the new identity, which was his name, Israel. You're no longer this. You are now the father of many nations. There's an open door for us to meet God face to face so he can say to us, this isn't how you're going to operate anymore. This is who I say you are. Operate in this identity. Now go confront the past. Now go confront that stuff that has been intimidating you. Go slay that giant in your new identity so that now you can step into your future. That's the season that we're in. God is doing a personal deliverance because he's also doing generational deliverance. Yeah. One of the things you're going to hear about more and more and more is generational salvation. God's not just after you. He's after your bloodline. Yes. He wants to cut off every curse, every evil spirit that has come into your bloodline. And he wants to release a generational blessing. But he's got to work with us first. He's got to get us to see our identity correctly. He's got to shift us into who he says we are. And there's an opportunity right now. You know, there's always an opportunity to be in the Word, to be in his presence. But you know, what's cool about God? God is into suddenlies. Yes. Suddenly God. God suddenly shows up. God will say, that's why they waited by the water. They waited by the water. They waited by the water. And suddenly an angel would show up suddenly and stir the waters. And the first one into those waters, guess what? They were healed. That's why they all waited around the waters. Because God was into the suddenly. He would show up on the scene suddenly. We are in a season of suddenly. It's 50, here we are. Season of an open door. Here's an opportunity for you. Suddenly. Go through it and meet with God and let God speak to you about who you are. Let God minister to you about your identity, about who he created you to be, so that you can operate in the fullness of that and confront the past. I love seasons of suddenlies. Generational salvation. Folks, Jesus is coming back soon. We know the story. We know how it ends. We read about it. I grew up in a church in the 70s. When every night, the message was, Jesus is coming soon. I got to a point that I was like, yeah, whatever. One night, my mom went to church. I had to stay back. They normally got home around 9. Some reason, it was 10:30, she wasn't home yet. I ran to the windows and I said, Jesus came and he left me. I was so scared. When she walked through the door, I ran as if I thought I stayed behind. You know, one of the things that I understand, there's some wrong teaching that came with that. We were taught escapism, just beam us up, get us out of here. We didn't care about what happened down here. I know that God has done a work in the body. So if that's not our attitude, we have to occupy till he comes. Yes. We got to gain ground. As I was standing in worship there tonight, the Lord began to show me. I saw a vision and I saw the church going into the media. And the Lord says, I'm about to open doors to the media. To own media. To be more influential in media. Before we leave, the world is going to know the church was here. Watch and see how we're going to become more influential in the seven mountains. God is going to do it supernaturally. So I believe we have to occupy till he comes. But the fact of the matter is, he is coming. And I heard things about Jesus coming soon that I grew kind of callous to. But now we are in a season where when And the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and says, this is what was prophesied, that in the end days, that was the beginning of the end days. Now we're in the end of the end days. I say to you, things that we heard about, that we thought, nah, we're going to start seeing. And the Lord spoke to me out of an open vision. I had a vision open up in front of me in my living room. And I watched, and as I was watching, I saw this beautiful eagle. Gorgeous eagle. Majestic. Powerful. Perched on a rock. Beautiful. And out of nowhere, a bear came and pounced on it and left it for dead. It was bloody. It was a bloody mess. In the vision, as this vision, I'm telling you, I cried out for this eagle. It was so beautiful. And then there it was, trampled, a bloody mess. And when I saw that, my heart went out. And I was just like, Lord, the eagle. And then a voice said to me, just watch. And as I stayed watching, all of a sudden, it was bloodied. And all of a sudden, it popped back up. With God's help, it popped back up. And then the vision continued to play in front of me. And now I'm seeing this beautiful throne, a majestic throne. And this same grizzly bear walks up to this throne, sinks his teeth. And you know how when a dog grabs a stick or something, he goes, arr! This bear just grabbed this throne with his mouth and it hated this throne. And it just began to do the exact same thing with the throne. And when it ended, the Lord began to speak to me about things that would unfold in this season. And the Lord began to show me and speak to me about how we are going to see the nations rise up against Israel. How we are going to see, and let me tell you something, the nations are going to rise up against Israel, and let me say this, no one's going to help her. Not even us. Are we recording tonight?
Yes.
Good, because I said it. Not even us. Because God's going to get all the glory for defending Israel.
Yes.
We're going to see it. It's going to shake the world. There's going to be betrayal. The U.S. is going to be betrayed by Russia. And as a result, a third of Russia is going to be destroyed. Destroyed. And this thing that God showed me in an open vision, and he said to me, the time is at hand. I was shocked with what I saw as a confirmation. It was very interesting. Just maybe about a week or two ago, we got word that a doctor from our very own region, I think he's from Fairport, an eye doctor. Anybody, I don't know if anyone here has heard of him. An eye doctor from our very own region, last March, laid down to take a nap. 1 minute, lays down to take a nap, and the next minute, he's gone. He's sitting face to face with Jesus. He wasn't feeling well. Turns out, he died and had a heart attack. He said he didn't remember any of that. All he knew, he didn't feel well. He laid down, dies of a heart attack. And they rush him to the hospital. And here they perform, because he's a well-known doctor, they decide to try to do something for him. And they perform a stent on a dead man. Brain dead, no activity in the brain. They keep him hooked to the machine for 9 days. He's telling us this story. And that whole time, he's sitting face to face with Jesus. He said Jesus looked right through him. Smiled at him like he'd never made a mistake in his life. That he sat with Jesus as equals. That Jesus just received him. And all that time down here where he was hooked up, he was spending time in the presence of the Lord. And as soon as he got there, the Lord says, you got to go back. But he began to tell him things that would unfold. Absolutely everything God showed me in that open vision. So as I sat there, Barbie and I sat there listening to his testimony at Bethel, he was sharing with us. I was blown away. That's absolutely everything that God showed me in that open vision. And he also said, the time is at hand. And he also said, churches, if you have, this is what this doctor said. I pray that you meet him. You're going to hear more of him. He's in our region, and I believe the Lord showed me he's going to open doors for his ministry to go worldwide so that people can hear this story. But the Lord said to him that because of what's going to happen on the earth, that people are going to come crying. They're going to come running to see what they have to do to be saved. So he even said, churches, if you have 5 services, you're going to go to 10. He said, get ready for the harvest. Get ready for the influx. Because it's coming. There are some things that are about to happen on the earth that's going to shake the earth to its core. But we have to be ready for that. That's why God is dealing with us now. Because when the harvest comes, we can't sit here thinking, well, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I don't know. Those days are over. We've got to be confident. We've got to know that we're called. We can't be angry at God anymore. If we're mad at God for whatever reason, if we're holding him responsible for certain things, for expectations unfulfilled, we have to let God deal with that. It's the time of confronting our issues, confronting our excuses, and moving past that. It's the time to gain ground. Because the harvest is coming, folks. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know this is this church moves apostolically, prophetically. You're blessed to have your pastors here, Al and Casey. I respect them tremendously in the spirit. I know that they're very keen and sharp, and they equip you well. But it's good to hear a confirming voice. So I confirm that to you. That's the season that we are in. This region is going to need our help. This region is going to need the body of Christ to rise up.
Yes.
I didn't know how this was going to fit in the message, but I do want to say, Al, your ministry and your thrust, your assignment that you have now for racial reconciliation is so on the heart of God. You are on your assignment. I think you and I talked that morning at breakfast, but I was blown away when you said that to me because of what the Lord's been showing me about racial reconciliation in this season. I even had a dream that Dr. Martin Luther King was our guest speaker at Bethel. And somehow in the dream, history had been rewound. And that's where he was assassinated in the dream. I knew he was assassinated in our historic sanctuary. And time was rewound and we were there again. And in the dream, I said to him, Dr. King, he was about to speak. I said, you know, this is where you were assassinated. Why, if you have a chance to do this again, why are you going to do it? And he says, there's no other way to do it. He says, we have to do this. It's a high sacrifice, but we have to do it. And he started speaking, and I knew at any moment, and sure enough, the event took place in the dream that had happened. And I woke up from that dream, and I said, Lord, I'm not sure of what all that meant. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, the reason why it took place in the historic sanctuary is because that area, what he represented, what he was fighting for, falls to the church. Racial reconciliation. We are to move in healing. It falls to us. So you've picked that up beautifully as an assignment from the Lord.
I don't know if Kathy noticed this or not. But in part of the things that we're doing to work on this, is the root of all racial issues is anti-Semitism. In the riots in the 60s here, Rochester was on Martin Luther King Jr.'s heart. It was important to him. He said, what happens in Rochester is critical. Well, the church brought Martin Luther King Jr. in to try and resolve the issues. But the church rejected Martin Luther King Jr. His message was forgiveness, peace, and love. And the church was split radically. And a group of liberals brought in someone called Saul David Alinsky and his socialist plan. We rejected God's man and God's plan that would have brought healing and reconciliation to this region. And we accepted the plan of man. Same thing happens throughout Scripture. But God is going to do a work here 10 times greater than happened when Finney came through. That word was released prophetically 4 years ago. Like Hector, I believe we're in that time where we've got to lay down our stuff and we've got to move forward with God.
Hallelujah. And the reason why in the dream it had rewound and we were back there again is I believe we have another opportunity. This is a season for us to lay hold of it. God wants to do something in this area now.
Yes.
So I'm thrilled that the prophets, the apostles are moving. They've heard it, they've sensed it, and they're moving in it. I was so blessed to hear that Al had already had a plan in place and they were moving in that direction. It's the heart of the Lord. There's an opportunity now. We're in some interesting season.
Yes.
We're in an interesting season. We're in an interesting time. And your part is very important. Don't sit here thinking you don't have an important. Your part is very important.
Yes.
We need you to do your part. You need me to do my part. We need each other to do each other's parts. We need that part. It's very important because it puts together the pieces of an overall puzzle. So your part is very key. So I say to you tonight, let God reveal to you and speak to you about who you are. Receive that identity. Confront issues of the past and be launched into your future with power, with might. And you'll see that even though there was a plan to violently push you and destroy you, God has helped you. He has helped you succeed, and he's helped you have victory. I speak it over you in Jesus' name. And the church says?
Amen.